Today is September 16, 2017. This is Mobile News Podcast 222. I'm Tyler Gossard, my good friend John Westfall, and today is an all-Apple podcast. I don't think we have anything else in the show notes. Nope.
No, and it's interesting because even the things that are tangentially related to Apple are directly due to Apple products.
Oh, yeah, there's one Apple story. That's I guess John has two rants this week, so you get twice the rants.
I am going to be ranting like whatever word you want to put in there. The family show, so. Okay,
yeah. G-rated. Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. So, I don't know. Was something announced this week?
Yeah, there was something about this new iPhone that's got a letter in its name. I thought we were getting away from this, Apple.
Wait,
I thought
that...
if you abandoned OS X being an X, you were going to be done with that letter, but apparently
so,
not.
So, iPhone X, right? It's not iPhone X.
Yeah, it's iPhone 10. Yeah. So just like Microsoft, they skipped 9.
Yeah, 9 is a unwanted numeral, apparently. I feel sad for it. Seems like a perfectly nice numeral.
Maybe there's something nefarious about it that we don't know.
Yeah. But that's for a Conspiracy Views podcast.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, you think about it, right? Plan 9 from outer space? That doesn't have a good connotation.
Nope.
Are there other nines that... I don't know. There might be other nines that are not well-received. Perhaps not as ill-received as 13 or 4 in Asia. But still, techies don't like 9.
4 just seems like a hard one to avoid. I mean, 9 and 13, but it just seems like so many things in life are under 5 in number that...
Well, you know how some buildings here in the U.S. don't have a 13th floor?
That is true, yeah.
In Asia, some of them don't have a 4th floor.
Mm-hmm.
In England, they do have 13th floors. They apparently don't care about superstitious nonsense.
That's the English for you. Yeah. They're just...
Yeah. Anyway,
they're
okay,
not
going to
worry about it.
So question number one for you, John. Mm-hmm. iPhone 8, 8 Plus, 10. Did you order one?
Well, I couldn't order the 10 because it's not available.
Not available, yeah.
But I did not order the 8 or the 8 Plus.
Oh, interesting. Me too, by the way. I have an upgrade plan. So I can you know, buy one, turn mine in, and keep paying whatever I've been paying. I chose not to exercise it yet. I mean, I don't have to do it right now.
So. I mean, there's really nothing all that compelling about the 8 Plus if you have the 7 Plus.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, there's some nice, cool little things. Yeah, wireless charging. You had posted a very interesting observation about wireless charging earlier this week on Twitter. And what was that?
Oh, that the charging mat that they showed during the keynote, which I think was a Belkin, wasn't an Apple product, was huge relative to the iPhone. And... Mm-hmm. Anybody's using a Qi charger, and it is Qi-based, spelled Qi, is that if you don't hit that sucker dead center, you know, a dead center on the device, you are not going to charge.
And I think you also mentioned that your case also interrupted it.
Oh, yeah. I posted that to ogasawalrus.com that my Nexus 6... Not the 6P, but the 6 is a Motorola, and it can be Qi charged, and it does, unless you put on a nice armored case, in which case the charger is just too far away relative, and it's a few millimeters. We're not talking a large distance. But the case is just a little too thick for the Qi charger to work with it, so, you know, you're going to have to probably be pretty careful how you do that. What case you choose for your iPhone 8, 8 Plus, and 10?
Yeah, and so that being said, I don't think wireless charging, especially in the Apple world, where we've all been very used to, plugging in. This is not, and honestly, plugging in, when I think about where I put my iPhone at night and where I put every phone at night, it's next to my bed, and I don't have a space there for a mat. I have kind of a little charging station with a few things here and there. I don't really want to put a mat down and then lay it on there. I'm just happy to have it connected and then alongside, you know, kind of, it sleeps in the same orientation I sleep. So
now you don't need a large mat. You can have a small charging surface, a smaller one, smaller than the device, but then you might spend several minutes just trying to find the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that'll charge. That was a problem I had when I had a Nexus 4. Actually, I still have the Nexus 4. It's just useless now. But it charges, and I bought a couple of different charging mats. The little one, with the most convenient, mm-hmm. you know, one you could take traveling and not worry about it kind of thing, I would spend like 3 minutes sometime just trying to get it in the right spot to charge. I have a bigger, I think it's an Energizer Qi charge. I can charge two devices, kind of. It's probably bigger than the mat seen during the keynote. And that one was much more forgiving because of its size, you know, its charging area is much larger and I could plop it down. And what I used to do is I used to take it to work because my Nexus 4's battery used to poop out around 2 o'clock. So I would generally charge it during lunch while I was eating. I used to eat at my desk. And if I was eating at my desk or near my desk and let it charge my phone during the lunch period. But, you know, I don't have to do that anymore because batteries are so much better.
But, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So iPhone 8, 8 Plus... Nah, not interested. But I'm kind of interested in the iPhone X.
Really?
What about you?
Well, I'm looking at the specs, you know, the differences. So it's got a bigger display. Okay, that's nice. I don't even know how big my 7 Plus display is. I'm going to guess it's 5. I guess it's the same size as X, so it's or 8. So it's 5.5. Yep. So 5.5 versus 5.8. Camera is the same resolution, which I am perfectly happy with. I have no desire to go beyond 12 megapixels at this point. Face ID is a minus for me.
So Face ID I've thought about a lot this week, and I am between a rock and a hard place. I don't really like the idea of Face ID, not because I'm a conspiracy theorist, although maybe I am, I'm just not telling you. mostly because I don't think it's going to be as fast as Touch ID in terms of, you know, actual daily use. Now, Apple begs to differ. Apple also made a compelling argument that it's supposedly more secure in terms of how easy it is to fool, although I don't know if people were really fooling Touch ID all that much in practice. In theory, yes, it can be defeated, but, you know, in practice, I don't know. And that's the big minus. But the big plus for me about the 10 is it's a smaller overall device.
It is, even though it has a bigger display.
Bigger display, smaller device, that seems like a win to me. And I definitely have been suffering on this 32 gigabyte 7 Plus.
I forgot about it.
So I want to upgrade something new. And at this point, if I'm going to upgrade, I'm not going to go to an 8 Plus if I can go for the 10. I think more and more I probably will end up going for the 10.
Okay, so my iPhone 7 Plus is a 128 gigabyte device, so I am not suffering space-wise on it. And let me check how much free space I have, just making sure I have the right model here. And I currently have about 73 gigabytes free, so I've got plenty of space, in my mind at least, you know, even with all the photos I take and all that stuff. So, space-wise, I'm okay. That's not a win for me. I guess the only thing, even, you know, the 10 has a front-facing portrait mode. You know, I'm not a selfie taker that really cares about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And Animoji, wow, it only is available on the 10.
Yeah.
That's kind of elitist to me, you know. Right, why not put it on all the new phones? They all have the same processor, I think.
I don't know, Todd. It's just the world hates you and your desire to use Animoji, I guess.
Yeah. Actually, I find the Animoji is a little creepy.
But it kind of is. I will agree with you on that.
And I think it's the rendering. And by the way, I don't find the concept of Animoji is creepy. Just the rendering algorithm they use, the surface render, doesn't look right to me. But that's just me being picky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 10 versus 8, bigger screen, Face ID, no touch sensor for fingerprint ID, which I find to be, like you said, you know, so I've had Face ID on two devices. Nexus 4 used to support Face ID. It worked okay. And then Google took it away. You know, yeah. One of the updates, it disappeared. And they didn't say why, but it's just gone. And I was okay. You know, it's fine. It was kind of slow, and I used it, but it was nice. The Surface Pro 4, which you and I both use, I don't know if you use your Hello face recognition with your Surface Pro 4. I do. And it's faster than typing a long password, but it's not faster than using a fingerprint ID on my iPhone. So, you know, I have an i7, so I have a pretty fast Surface Pro 4. It's pretty responsive in other ways. So I don't see how Apple can make it much faster than that. But we'll see. I should say I do use that every day because it is faster than typing in a long password.
Yeah, I also have a PIN on my Surface 4, so that's a quick thing to enter.
Oh, yeah. I have that too, but I don't know. I'm just old school. When I have a keyboard, I just naturally type my long password, even though the PIN is there. Okay, so what? OLED screen, high contrast ratio, HDR display. I don't know.
Well, and I think it also, it has a bit to do with how you view your phone. I've talked about this before. And you might be in the camp where you do a good amount of your daily work through your phone. I don't know. But when I'm walking around campus, when I'm in meetings, when I'm meeting with students or just seeing students randomly, my phone is the thing I always have with me. Yeah. And so for me to have faster, stronger, bigger screen, it's just a win for me in terms of how fast can I deal with whatever life is throwing at me and getting through. Because, you know, there were days, for example, yesterday from about noon to the end of the day, I was mobile. So I was wandering around different buildings. I had my iPad and my Surface Pro sitting in my bag. But the majority of the meetings I took, I just took whatever I needed down on my phone. So that's one reason why I don't really feel bad about upgrading my phone at any point. And also, the 32 gig problem has been a problem.
Oh, that's a huge problem. I can see that. So, I mean, I ran. Go ahead.
So that is why I think I probably will pull the trigger. Now, I'm also hopeful that since Apple has announced this far enough ahead that device accessory manufacturers will have a chance to actually get things ready.
That's a good point. Well, I don't know. The accessory manufacturers, and I'm not mocking them. It is tough to do, say, a well-fitted case and all that kind of stuff. And it's easy to mess that up. But they are not fast. I mean, and that's why last year when I bought my 7 Plus, I finally gave up on the idea of buying a nice third-party case that has all the features I want. And I just bought Who's the company that makes those tough cases? Whatever they're called. Anyway, I just bought a case from Apple. You know, it's a third-party case, but it's designed for the 7 Plus, and Apple, you know, is available at launch, and I said, oh, the heck with it. I'll just go ahead and buy that. And I'm happy with it. It's okay, you know. It doesn't have, like, a built-in screen cover, which is the kind of case I normally buy. Because I don't like doing that whole, you know, trying to flatten it and get all the bubbles out kind of thing.
Yep.
Or cleaning the screen and, you know, you think you've cleaned it and there's like one piece of dust on it after you put the screen protector on and you go, oh, darn. But I don't have a lot of faith in accessory manufacturers and getting cases out quickly. Mm-hmm. So if I were going to... Go ahead.
The one that I always go with, the case that I guess I use the most in the last few years has been the Book by 12 South.
Mm.
And they've been reliably getting their new model of the Book for the iPhone out before Christmas each year. So it seems like Christmas or maybe January is the latest I've ever had to wait for one of those. So
yeah. Well, you know, the one... new feature that we haven't talked about is available in the 10 and 8 Plus, but not the 8, and that's portrait lighting mode.
Mm-hmm.
So portrait mode, for those who forgot, was introduced without the lighting. Just regular portrait mode was introduced last year with a 7 Plus only, because it requires two cameras, and it creates what's called a bokeh effect, B-O-K-E-H. Actually, you know, everybody says Boca, but Japanese language doesn't have a word that sounds like that. I don't know how you pronounce it. It basically does that soft focus behind the subject, which is really nice. It's a really nice effect. I use it mostly with my pets.
And they appreciate it.
Yeah, well, they look wonderful.
Getting any younger.
They look marvelous, you know, with that whole soft focus behind them. And you know, surprisingly, I know when I took photos at my daughter's college graduation this past spring, you know, I carried a real camera. I carried a Canon point-and-shoot, which is a really nice camera, and I carried my iPhone 7 Plus. And honestly, I like the photos I took with the iPhone 7 Plus better, especially the ones with the bokeh effect, you know, with the cap and gown and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so the portrait lighting mode uses, you know, like a flash photography technique to kind of soften and darken the background, you know, like you see in portraiture photography. And, you know, I think the pets would look really nice like that. So it's that one. And that's the one feature I find interesting that would convince me to upgrade from my 7 Plus to an 8 Plus.
Well, I guess we will see. We've got a little bit of time to think about this. Yeah. We do have until the end of October to decide if we would like to pick up a 10. I'm pretty much thinking I will, but I suppose my mind could be changed at some point, especially if Samsung wants to start sponsoring our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Then my mind publicly will be changed quite a bit.
Oh, yes. Should note the other thing that is affecting my decision. Well, you know, I'm already paying. I'm on that Next plan from AT&T, I think. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't cost me anything, a little bit more extra, I guess, a few dollars more a month to upgrade. I have to turn my old phone in, which is kind of a hassle. But I also have an Android phone. I have an old Nexus 6, which is now 3 years old. The phone itself is 2 years old, but I bought it halfway through its life cycle. It's unupgradable. It cannot go to Oreo. Couldn't even go to 7.1 Nougat. I think it's stuck on 7.0 Nougat. And it's still functional. You know, I don't have a problem with it. I haven't run. It's only 32 gigs of RAM, but on Android, since I don't take that many photos with it, its camera is okay. Dim light is actually better than iPhone, but you know, it's not superior otherwise. So, I think I would like an Oreo device. I'm probably going to buy an Android phone when it gets released later this year. We'll find out. I think October 4th is the Google announcement date, so find out more in a couple of weeks. Okay. So next up is something I am actually much more interested in, and that's the Apple Watch Series 3. So you did not buy any. You did not upgrade your watch yet, from what you said earlier. You didn't buy.
Well, anything. I have not upgraded my existing original Apple Watch to iOS to watchOS 4.
Okay.
It's actually doing that right now as we record this.
Okay.
But so yesterday night, I did not decide to wake up early to get anything.
Okay.
And then about 3:30 in the morning, my time, I had to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
So I got up. I did that, and I thought, oh, what the hell? I'll buy an Apple Watch.
Right.
So I signed into my Apple app, the App Store app, the Apple Store app.
Right.
And picked up the stainless steel Series 3 GPS plus cellular with the white sport band, and it says it will be here around October 6th or so, because I wasn't early enough to get it. You know, I didn't wake up an hour and a half earlier.
Right.
I was up at 3:30, not 2 o'clock my time. So I'm excited about it, mostly because I'm going from the original Series 1 all the way to Series 3. So not only do I get, you know, the cellular, but I also get built GPS and a few other things Series 1 didn't have.
Right. So the stainless steel model is more expensive than the base price, right?
Yes. I think with shipping and tax, mine came out to $649.
Okay. So why did you decide to go with the LTE model?
Well, first of all, I had no choice if I wanted the stainless steel.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
the stainless steel only comes, and I don't really care about stainless steel. What I care about is the sapphire crystal display. I'm a big guy. I tend to whack my watch into something at least once every week or two.
Seriously?
Yeah, I just, you know, I live in a world of spaces that are not made for my frame. So, you know, getting up and moving around, and I'm taller as well. So, yep, and are. Especially, there's a, outside by our carport, we have these two columns that come down in the middle of the sidewalk. I have to walk around them. And it seems like regularly my arm will just like accidentally brush against one. And those are little tiny scratches and abrasions that I can easily get out of stainless steel if I want to. But I don't want to have to worry about it scratching up the display. Right. And my Series 1 or my original Apple Watch display looks very good right now after almost three years of use.
Yeah.
So that's why I, you know, for me it was, do I care about cellular? I'm going to try it out, see if I use it, see if I care about it.
Yeah.
But it was really more, I want the sapphire crystal, and that's only on the stainless steel.
That's interesting. It's interesting. I thought it was in all of them, but okay. Okay.
No, they have a hardened display on the regular aluminum, but it's not the same resistance to John's abuse.
Okay. Okay, so let me go through some of the differences between the Series 1 and Series 3. Series 2 has disappeared, I guess.
Yeah.
Just
like the number 9, the number 2.
Twos and nines. They don't. Something about that. So let me go through some of the differences between the Series 1 and Series 3. Because I'm just trying to convince myself and asking you to help me with my decision, John, as you might know, as you often do. So these are the things I went to the comparison link and took a look at this at the differences, and here's what's different. So the Series 3 has a GPS, something called GLOSSNAS, and I had to look that up. And it's a transliteration of apparently a Russian acronym for Global Navigation Satellite System.
Yeah, so it's basically, the Russian GPS.
It means system. GPS.
Yeah.
Has a barometer, which means it does altimeter readings. Like my current Fitbit does. Oh, I should be charging my Fitbit now that I think about it. Siri speaks.
Yes.
That's exciting, I guess. And so my first question to you is this. So I know you can use the Series 1 and 2 as an adjunct to your phone and answer calls and things without picking up the phone. Mm-hmm. What's the speaker volume on the Apple Watch like, the Series 1?
Loud enough that I can use it without having to raise it to my ear to hear what the person's saying.
Okay.
So it's I can still keep my arm. Now, obviously, I go into Dick Tracy mode where I hold my arm out and, you know, look down at it while I'm talking. I guess I don't necessarily have to do that.
Yeah.
But I've never had a problem hearing what the other person has to say. So it's reasonably a loud speaker.
Okay. So the next difference is that the Series 3 brightness level is rated at 1,000 nits versus 450 nits for the Series 1. So it's twice as bright numerically, at least. I don't know if perceptually 1,000 and 450 are actually twice. But at any rate, when I looked up the what you need to do for 1,000 nits, under a bright blue sky conditions, the recommendation is to have at least 1,000 nits brightness display. Nits is a unit of luminance. How does you live in the south? How does 450 nits look under a bright blue sky?
I've actually not had a problem reading my watch when I'm out, but yeah. I tend to use a watch face that just has a digital readout, so I don't need to pick up much fine detail. I'm not trying to read an analog face. So, but I've not had a problem with it. Now, I do have problems with polarized sunglasses because if I, turn my head, I believe I will get a darker image. Of course, don't think of it. Maybe I haven't noticed that with the watch.
Yeah.
I don't think the watch is polarized.
Yeah, yeah. They fixed that on the phone and iPad a few years ago.
Yeah.
So it used to be that they used 180 degree polarization on the screen. So if you were wearing dark glasses, and I have a video of it on YouTube, And I think if you go to landscape mode on the iPad, you can't see anything. Mm-hmm. If you go to portrait mode, it's fine. They fixed it so it's now a 45-degree polarization. So unless you're looking at your iPad at 45 degrees relative to your head, it should be okay. But with a watch, you know, you can be any, you know, depending how you hold your watch on your wrist.
Yeah. So I have found no problems with brightness, but I'm looking forward to brighter just because brighter, better.
Yeah. And the last thing before I ask you more Apple Watch questions, again, I'm trying to convince myself whether or not to buy one.
I think you need one, Tom.
The optional LTE version, the version you bought, has 16 gigabytes of RAM versus 8 gigabytes for the non-LTE version. And so my question for you about that is, does that make a difference?
My version actually only has 2 gigs of storage. The original Apple Watch didn't have a very large capacity for storing it. And really, the only thing you're storing on there are playlists. I mean, there's not much else you're going to store on there.
What about apps? Are apps natively stored since you don't need a...
Apps get stored, but they it doesn't... I've never seen a worry about capacity with an app. So I like the idea of having more. I think what will be nice, truly, is that I can go out occasionally for walks and leave my phone and wallet and everything in my car and then go on the walking trail with just my Bluetooth headphones and my watch. So that's kind of what I look forward to the greater capacity for.
Yeah, and that was my other question, since, you know, I didn't look this part up. Does the watch support Bluetooth?
Yes.
I mean, by that I mean, does the current one, the Series 1, do that too?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
Really, I think the question that you really are dancing around is, do you want a Series 3 versus a Series 1?
No, for me, it's a Series 3.
Okay.
The question is, do I want LTE versus non-LTE?
So I've been thinking about that, trying to figure out... Because I have to get LTE, the cellular with the stainless steel. I'm trying to figure out if I will use it, and I'll probably give it a shot. It's $10 a month. We talked last week about how that's kind of right at my don't-know range. But I'll at least try it and see what happens. There aren't many times I'm away from my phone, but if I knew that I could take my phone... with me, in a sense, where if I did get a phone call, I might decide to leave my phone at home more often, or throw it in the bottom of my bag or something like that, where I don't really care if I can't get to it easily. Mm-hmm. So I think look at the models, look at the one you want, and it might be one that just comes with cellular anyway, so then the decision's made for you. If you're looking at, like, the aluminum case with the sport band and all that, just give it kind of a thought. Because remember, with Apple Watches, you can mix and match the bands.
Right.
If you don't like – you have to pick one model with a band with it. So right now, the only Series 3s that are just GPS only are silver aluminum with the fog sport band, gold aluminum with the pink sand sport band. You would look fabulous in that. Space gray aluminum with the gray sport band and space gray aluminum with the black sport band. So, A, if you want anything other than a sports band, you're going to have to go with cellular out the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, the price point, $329 to $399. So... it's debatable how...
Well, actually, that's for the 38mm version.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then you've got to add another
30 50, bucks.
So, something there to get to the 42.
Yeah, 42, you know, it starts at 429. So Apple's very clever that way. You know, if you're 5'6" and have a thin frame, yes, it starts at 399. If you're anything bigger than that, not so much. But anyway, I'm still thinking about it. I just the $10 a month, which is, as I described it to a friend, is about 2 lattes a month. Mm-hmm. You know, I still don't like giving my carrier any more money than I really, really need to. You know, because they don't do me any favors. And sometimes not even service. But, okay, so I will continue to think about this. I'm at the moment, I'm looking at the Series 3 Space Gray aluminum case with dark olive sports loop.
I do like those dark sports loops. I have the leather loops, but the sports loops look pretty interesting. I might end up picking up one of those just to have the band. So
they look comfortable, just kind of looking at the screen. And I'm not a fancy-dancy type, so I don't need a Milanese, which I don't even know what that is. I just know it costs more.
I feel very fancy when I wear my Milanese loop.
What is that, anyway? What is that a brand? Is that a...
I guess they just stole it from somewhere in Italy. That's really all I can think they did with it. Okay. But the interesting thing about the Milanese loop is that the... first of all, if you wear it and you have hair on your arms, you might wish to shave around where you put your watch, or else it picks up every little hair. That's kind of a pain. Those sport loops are only $49. I did not even look at the pricing until now. That's it's surprisingly affordable for Apple bands.
Anything Apple.
Yeah, anything Apple.
Of course, you know,
a lot more not cheaper, but lower end bands now than there were at launch. You know, now we've got these sport loops, the sport bands, the woven nylon bands, and the Nike bands. Okay, are all
what's some Nike model anyway? I don't get that at all.
It's what? For people who love Nike.
But what makes it different? I mean, there's actually an Apple Watch Nike edition or something.
They add a few they add a few new watch faces for the Nike. And same thing with the other the other edition they have, the Hermes edition.
Okay.
Or maybe it's Hermes. I have no idea how you pronounce it because I'm not that fancy dancer.
Okay.
The other thing is the Milanese loop. The magnet is not as strong as you might think, so it does loosen up over the day.
Oh.
A little annoying.
Okay. Well, you know, I was going to say that, you know, you Apple Watch people, and you elitists, you talk about, the watch band's only $49 or only $79. You know, for many years, I don't think I owned a watch that was more than $49. So, I think this, in fact, now that I think about it, the current Moto 360 Android Wear watch that I wear every day, I think I actually got it for free because I used my Amazon points to buy it.
Well, I'm taking a very blasé attitude about money these days because I've spent a ton of money recently on technology upgrades.
Which we're going to talk about.
And I guess in the end it was a good thing, but, you know, I'm just sort of very blasé about it.
Okay. Well, I'm still thinking about it. Well, mostly the LTE versus non-LTE. I wonder if you can get it and not pay the LTE and not have connectivity. Well, I'll think about it.
I think you can.
Yeah.
I thought I read somewhere it was optional if you wanted to hook it up or not.
Yeah, because it'd be kind of nice just to have the option to turn it on someday. But mostly it'd be nice to have 16 gigabytes of storage versus 8, I think.
I think about just the things of wandering into a store and just having a very slim wallet with, you know, my ID and a credit card and my watch and not having to take everything with me.
I've never used Apple Pay, but I wonder if you can do Apple Pay with your watch without your phone.
You should be able to. Especially if it has LTE.
Yeah, I was going to say the LTE model.
Yeah, so that could be it right there. If you're out about town, you've got your car parked nearby, you can just leave everything secured in your car and just
Wander around with the watch. Not in Honolulu, you can't. No, that is not safe. Anybody visiting Honolulu, do not leave your valuables in your car, ever. So, there you go. That's my public service announcement for today.
All right.
All right. All right. Let's get to your rants.
Okay. One is not so much a rant, it's just a I can't believe it happened sort of thing. Many years now, my home network server has been a Mac Mini server with external hard drives attached to it.
Okay.
The external hard drives are where most of the data was stored. I did have some on the internal drives, but I would mirror those internal drives to the externals so that I could get to them, etc. Mm-hmm. And about 4 weeks ago, Crash Plan announces that they're not going to have a home version anymore. We've talked about that. Then I went through buying a network-attached storage device, and I mentioned that last week. The pain of getting the wrong screws, then getting the right screws, and then the original one I had died, and then I bought a new one. And all said and told, I paid like $1,500 to basically replace Crash Plan, which that's going to take me about 10 years to come out even on that. But this week on Thursday morning, I woke up, and I had been doing some file copies on my server, mostly just verifying that the files I wanted were where I wanted them to be. So I would log in and just check to make sure these files were copying, etc. And I tried to connect to my Apple Mac Mini server over VNC and couldn't get it to come up. I thought, well, that's bizarre. You know, never had that much problem with it. So I look over. The little light is still on. I'm like, okay, well, it's powered up. That's weird. So try connecting it straight up to a monitor. Actually, I didn't do that yet. I thought, well, I'll just reboot it. You know, maybe something's screwed up. Maybe it's hung up. It's not the fastest machine on the planet. So I go to reboot it. I hear the Apple chime. I'm like, okay, that's a good sign. And then I plug in an external monitor to it. And it's not producing any video out.
I've had that happen, by the way.
That's bad. And then about 2 minutes later, it just shut itself down.
Yikes.
So my trusty Mac Mini server is now dead. Assume I could try to fix it if I desire to break into it again and mess around with it. But I began accelerating my migration plans over to the QNAP network attached storage, and I've been very happy with it. It's actually a very easy to use machine. I haven't had any problems with it. In fact, today I'm setting up a virtual Ubuntu virtual computer on it so that I can run a few things that I need full Linux for. So that was just sort of a very strange, very fitting sort of thing to happen, I guess, that I bought a replacement for the server, and then the server decided to die within a week of the replacement show.
Well, you know, I think, and I say that, first, my condolences on the loss of your beloved Mac Mini server. I, too, lost a Mac Mini years ago, and I feel the pain. And I have a theory about Mac Minis, that specific model. I think, like some people, they demand loyalty. And when it saw your new NAS, your QNAP, it said, "Oh, ew."
And it's sitting right on top of it. Yeah. You know, it saw from the day it was delivered. So.
Yeah. In my case, I bought a new iMac, and I think my Mac Mini died shortly after that.
So you're saying I should keep any of my Apple hardware away from other non-Apple hardware?
Out of view, at least.
Yeah. Or even in your case, other Apple hardware.
Yeah, like I said, it's the Mac Mini itself. You know, the iMac kept working when I got a MacBook Air and things like that. I didn't care.
Well, maybe that is the problem that they've been having trying to get a new Mac Mini up and running, because the old ones are just so frickin' fickle like that.
Well, they're more intelligent than the other Macs. Mm. They're artificially intelligent. They have, they've achieved sentience, and they have feelings.
And we're hurting them.
We're hurting them, but it says, "Well, what are you doing here, man? Haven't I been like the best Mac Mini server ever?" And you like,
that's all I can figure. Well,
yeah.
So this is brought up another little mini rant. I have a Sonos audio system at home because I quite honestly listen to a lot more things than I watch on a television.
Okay.
Oh, my television started acting weird this week, too. It's turning itself on and off randomly at different times.
Uh-oh.
So that's kind of disturbing, but I won't even think about that. The television is about 8 years old now. So anyway, my Sonos Audio. Sonos, if you've never used their products.
I have not.
They have controllers for iOS, Android, Mac, Windows, etc., so you can control your home system. The problem is, on the mobile devices, they go over wireless, and they will not route over VPN.
Hmm.
So I have a VPN. I can get into my home network, but when I launch the Sonos app on my phone, it goes, sorry, you're not on your home network, so we're not going to control the system. Now, when you go to Sonos's support, there are a lot of very contrarian people there who, as soon as you say, I'd like to control my Sonos from off network, their immediate reaction is, why in the world would you ever need to do that? Because you're not there. So why would you need to control it?
Your birds.
Well, yes, that's one thing. And some people have pointed out solutions like, well, I'm setting up a Sonos system for a client, and I like to load content for them and get it, you know, running a certain way, et cetera. Because you've got to figure a lot of these systems are probably in the homes of people who make way more money than you and I will ever see in our lives.
And have no idea how to do technology things.
They just have a guy or a woman who controls it and adds and does what it's supposed to do.
My people.
Yeah, my people.
Yeah.
But the bigger thing is alarms. If you set an alarm on a Sonos and you don't turn it off, like say you go traveling and it's just it's repeating, the default length of the alarm is between 45 and 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So your alarm is going to be chiming for quite a bit if you can't turn it off remotely. So my solution now is I do have this Ubuntu Linux virtual PC that is running on the QNAP NAS, and I was able to get the Sonos Windows controller software running inside of Wine, the Windows emulator package for Linux. I had to trick it a few times. I had to tell it that it was running Windows 7 and not Windows XP and a bunch of other random stuff. But I tested it out right before we started podcasting, and it does work. So now I've just got to restore a few other network services, and my migration will mostly be complete from the Mac Mini to the QNAP.
Okay. So before we close out this podcast, I just want to say that while John was speaking, I went to my Apple Store app, and I configured a 42 millimeter space gray aluminum case, dark olive sports loop, added AppleCare, which is another $49, with LTE, and the price with you know, moving from 38 to 42 and adding the AppleCare is $478. Add in Hawaii sales. Actually, it's not a sales tax. It's excise tax. About $500 for the lowest end 42 millimeter watch.
That's a shame, but you won't think of it after you press purchase. You'll be okay.
I'm going to put it in my bag.
I did read about someone on Friday night on Reddit saying that they accidentally did they purchased their watch and then they realized that they had an iMac that they had been playing around with the duration of sitting inside their bag. So be very careful, my friends, with leaving things in your bag.
Indeed, I better check my bag. Yeah, that's all I have. Estimated tax, $22.52. So, Ships 3 to 4 weeks. Unavailable for pickup at my local store, which is sad. Oh, that's something to consider. Maybe I'll just wait till it hits the local store. Well, I'll think about it. And you don't have a local store.
No.
That you can pick it up from.
So I don't have any say in that.
Yeah. Hey, out of curiosity, in your neck of the woods, and literally where you are in the neck of a woods somewhere, I think. Do you have...
Neck of the Delta. There's no woods here, just a lot of open fields.
Do you have... Oh, is that interesting? That's interesting. I always thought you would have woods down there. Do you have any Amazon lockers near you? I don't think we do.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. I'm hoping Whole Foods will become an Amazon locker. But anyway, just the whole Whole Foods. I don't need the foods part anymore. Just the locker part. You know, basically it's become a real estate play, right? It's not a food distribution play.
Nope.
Okay.
More places, which I don't have any of those either, so doesn't matter.
All right, so I'm the phone thing. I don't know if I'm going to get anything. I'll be the 8 Plus. Not the 10. I just don't see the need for Animojis.
I will send you many of them just to freak you out.
Oh, that's right. You can send it to somebody who not an elitist, but you have to be an elitist to send them, which I find offensive. But okay. The watch thing, I'm still thinking about. Probably get an LTE just because, and maybe not turn on service until I need it. And again, my condolences about your Mac Mini. So
I appreciate it.
Alrighty, so Mobile Views Podcast 222, mostly Apple. Well, the Sonos was kind of Apple-ish.
Mm-hmm.
John has helped me make up my mind, at least on the watch part. So I think I got to think about this. Okay, we'll talk to you guys later. We'll talk to you guys later.